I'm Eli Edwards, and you are listening to the Chaotic Lawful podcast about change in the legal world. For this second episode, I have a guest. Her name is Becky Lee, and she works as an intellectual property attorney at the Atlanta office for Seyfarth Shaw. On this episode, she's going to talk a little bit about how she got into IP work and going to discuss Seyfarth's processes in terms of using Lean and Six Sigma programs to aid efficiency and reduce waste in terms of providing legal services. So please stick around and listen. Thanks. Hello, this is Eli Edwards, and this is the Chaotic Lawful podcast. And for my very first guest, I'm pleased to welcome Becky Lee. And I'm going to let Becky introduce herself and give you some of her background before we get into the nitty-gritty.
Okay, as you said, I'm Becky Lee. I am a trademark and copyright attorney in Atlanta. I've been practicing for about 4 years. Before that, I was a music publicist, which was really fun, but I sort of needed a new challenge during the recession, so I went back to law school, and here I am.
Cool. So you actually have one of my dream jobs, because I went to law school to become a copyright attorney and learned it's difficult getting to IP without that science background, but of course you had previous experience in the music business. So how much did that help you?
That helped me not necessarily to get a job so much as to just be focused on what I wanted, but I did have to compromise a little bit. I remember talking to an entertainment attorney one time, and he said, because I had been my own boss when I worked in the music business for a little while, and I mentioned that, you know, there's always that hustle to find clients, and he said, well, if you're going to be an entertainment attorney, you're going to have to still hustle. And that was really hard for me, trying to run my own business and do my job at the same time. So he said, you know, if you need stability, you need to become an IP attorney and focus on more businessy type IP than just entertainment. So that, I was a little bit crestfallen after that phone call. But then I just decided, okay, well, I guess I'll focus on learning trademarks and copyrights and try to do litigation and just see if I like it, and then decide if I want to go back to hustling and being an entertainment attorney. So that's kind of how I ended up where I am now. I don't do as much entertainment as I wish I could, but I do get to still touch on it a little bit, and I participate in Georgia Lawyers for the Arts, so I occasionally get to do a music pro bono case or something like that, so I can kind of keep my music passion alive, but then my day job is a little bit more corporate.
Right. Cool. I'm probably going to say cool a lot. I'm going to apologize for that ahead of time. But I wanted to, is it okay if we name your firm?
Yeah. I work with Seyfarth Shaw.
Okay. And that's a fairly large firm, offices, various parts of the country. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you, before that, you were at a smaller firm?
Right. I worked for a boutique firm that had about 5 attorneys, and we did a mix of prosecution and litigation. And now that I'm in a bigger firm, people kind of have their more defined roles, so I don't do as much federal litigation as I used to.
Okay. That in itself sounds like a big change to go from a small firm to a large firm.
It was, and I know a lot of people go in the opposite direction. For me, just personally because I have children, I was looking for some more stability, but also I did not enjoy litigation as much as I thought I would. And now I get to do kind of a perfect mix where I'm doing TTAB litigation, which is more administrative. It's the Trademark Trial and Appeal Board. So it's not as much dealing with the federal court system and fights between companies that just, you know, go on for ages and ages, and there's so much discovery. And now I get to do more of the strategic aspects where we negotiate settlement between companies, and it's not as contentious. Well, I shouldn't say that. There are exceptions, of course.
Of course.
But it's not as crazy as it used to be.
Okay. Well, when we were setting this up, I made the observation that when I was working at a firm that had a significant IP practice, that those attorneys were our early adopters. They were the ones that would do product reviews and give us feedback on trial products that we were trying out. They were the ones who started inundating us with all sorts of big data and analytics type questions. And I'm wondering if that's the same at your firm, that the IP people are the ones who are sort of fast forward on integrating legal technology and new ways and new aspects of managing legal services.
Yeah, absolutely. Our firm, Seyfarth, has this program called Seyfarth Lean. That's it's a Lean Six Sigma adaptation into the legal industry, and the trademark group really was one of the first groups to adopt the philosophy of Seyfarth Lean because we deal with so much volume. And we've got, we'll have one client that has 3,000 trademark registrations, and we've got to manage that and keep track of deadlines. And I worked for Seyfarth a little bit when I was a law student, and even 2011, they were using really cool technology to just keep track of demand letters and things that can't just be put into a docketing system. And part of my job then was going through old files for one of our clients and collecting data about adverse parties and how long disputes lasted, what happened, things like that, and putting that into a spreadsheet so that that can then be imported and tracked so that they can get historical data on how the company has treated their trademarks in the past and how that will affect or inform how they treat them in the future. And it's really cool. There are so many different metrics that I never would have thought of to track that not only help from a substantive point of view, but just managing. So if you've got a client who, has a valuable trademark that might be both, I don't want to say descriptive, but just something that's a really valuable trademark that people might want to copy, then they might have small businesses all over the country trying to adopt similar names, and they've got to send hundreds of demand letters out to protect their trademark rights because it's the trademark owner's obligation to do that. So you can track when the demand letter goes out, how quickly they respond, how quickly they take their website down or change their name or things like that. And then we can go to the client and say, hey, look, this is where we've been successful. This is how many people we've contacted, et cetera. So it's really neat to see how all that plays out.
That sounds really extensive. Is there a lot of training involved in order to be able to correctly generate and then use those metrics?
Well, that's one advantage of being at a big firm, is we have technology folks who specialize in that. So of course we have to look at it and talk about which metrics to track, and then, you know, the technology guys make it happen. And then we have some really talented administrative folks on our trademark team whose job it is to go through the records of disputes and prosecution records and determine what those timelines are and how we can improve them and things like that. So it's kind of a collective effort. Everybody has their different things that they specialize in. So not really like something that I'm taking from, you know, beginning to end and controlling the technology aspects, thankfully. So I'm more of an inputter, and then, you know, then we all look at it.
Okay. I'm still really impressed. can we go back for a bit? I want to, if you could, for people who are unfamiliar with the terms, talk about what Lean Six Sigma means.
Well, I have not, that is something that the firm trains people on, and I have not gone through the training yet, but I can explain my understanding of it.
Okay.
So Six Sigma, when I first heard of it, it was through the automotive industry. When I was living in Detroit, manufacturers and suppliers used it to track their supply chains and become more efficient in making cars. And then lean is a philosophy of just you know, being more efficient also. So those two things together, it's just a philosophy of tracking data and using metrics to become more efficient, because that's what clients want. I mean, there's so much news about companies not using outside law firms, or at least not big law firms, because there is, you know, overbilling and overspending, and some of the old models just aren't as efficient. So that's our goal with it, is to just do things as efficiently as possible for the client's benefit.
Do you find that it is a interesting challenge to change the way you think about how you evaluate client work and services to the client in terms of efficiency rather than the billable hour or, you know, other sorts of more traditional metrics that law firms have used?
For me, it's not that different, because I'm still relatively new to practicing law, and I've only worked in two law firms. One is very technology forward, and the other one, you know, just out of necessity of cost for very small firms, did not have as much technology. So so it's not really challenging to me. I prefer it. And then the partner who runs our team in Atlanta has been practicing for, I'm not sure exactly how long, but he's worked in, you know, the old model and the new model, and he loves it. He may have had a, you know, I'm not sure how his transition went, but he is one of those kind of analytical thinkers anyway, and so he was adopting new technologies all along. We still have an old database that was kind of the first way that they tracked client trademarks. And it's really funny because it looks like kind of a 1990s website with a really small font and everything. but he was always on that track. So I don't really know any different.
Okay.
And say from a client perspective, we get a lot of compliments.
Oh, that's one of the biggest things that is the primary mover of progress. So is this a system that you'd, depending on your career path, that you'd want to take with you?
I think the philosophy is something I definitely would want to take with me. I went from working at Seyfarth during law school and then to a small firm and then back to Seyfarth. And I did try to introduce not the actual technology or software, but just some of the ideas into the small firm life. And it's difficult and costly for a smaller firm. So you have to kind of look through like third party software because, you know, obviously you can't necessarily afford an IT department to build something from scratch. So it's more challenging outside of a big company model, but just the idea of, using project management type software and tracking metrics, absolutely, I would want to apply that to any job I did in the future.
Excellent. I just had a question and it left my head, so I won't worry about that. I did want to ask, and this is a question I hope to ask most of my guests, is there something that you wished you had prepared for, or you wished that law school had prepared for you before you went out into practice?
Practical skills.
Okay.
And from so many different aspects. I mean, even though I mentioned earlier that when I was my own boss in the music industry, I spent too much time running my business. Mm-hmm. I think that can happen in law, even if you're in big law or a small firm. There are so many administrative aspects that can take over your life if you don't really know what to do with them. So, especially, I think, from a litigation standpoint, if, you know, you take like mock trial classes, I think, at most law schools, but you don't really learn about the discovery process or managing the discovery process, managing deadlines. I think managing deadlines is the number one most important thing we do as lawyers in a lot of cases. And it's just, you have to get used to it and you have to live by deadlines. And there aren't a lot of classes in law school that teach.
Okay, that's good to know. Are there any parting thoughts that you would like to leave with?
Oh, gosh. I think, if there are law students listening to this, I would say to start networking and taking part-time jobs where you can, so that you can learn the practical aspects that you may not be learning in your classes. I know a lot of classes now a lot of schools are adding experiential clinics and things like that.
Right.
And I think that's so important. Any kind of work experience, especially law students who go straight through from undergrad to law school.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important to learn how to just be a person in an office. You know, because if your first experience being an employee in an office once you graduate from law school, it is practicing in a law firm, it's just everything coming at you at once. And I think it's easier to inch your way into that.
Okay. I think that is it. Thank you so much for your insights and sharing your experiences. Happy that we're able to talk about project management, which is something I'm still getting my brain around. But it sounds like it's working out very well for you, and I'm encouraged by that. And thank you for interrupting your very busy schedule to do this with me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Okay. Hello, this is Eli Edwards again, and I had thought about including a long explanation of what Six Sigma and Lean are, and I decided to scrap most of that. Basically, what you should know is that they are both techniques for improving efficiency. Both of them started from assembly lines. Six Sigma, which is actually a statistical term referring to deviations, comes out of Motorola and was adopted by General Electric and became popular from there on. And the focus is basically eliminating defects and reducing variability. You want to get things basically as standardized as possible to make things more efficient. Lean came out of the manufacturing assembly lines of Toyota. And its focus is on eliminating waste. And it's semi-redundant with Six Sigma, although in theory, Six Sigma is very data-driven. Lean, the processes are data-driven. You have to measure everything. There's a lot of quantitative analysis. There's a lot of capturing of metrics, but the focus is on what the customer wants. So Lean Six Sigma sort of combines those two elements together. Again, as I said, it sort of came out of manufacturing, has been now applied to services, and you're seeing it pop up as it has in the past, gosh, I want to say 10 years, maybe a little over 10 years. People were starting to talk about Lean Six Sigma applying to legal services. Seyfarth Shaw, which is where Becky works, was a pioneer in getting these concepts into the legal world. And at my blog, strangelawesq.com, Esquire, and there, there is links to Seyfarth Shaw's webpage, website regarding all the lean services that they do. I included some other legal blogs that talk a lot about process improvement and process management, project management as well in the legal world. So feel free to visit, and I'm going to close this out with thank you. I hope to be talking with you again soon.